Commissioner Baker?
I'm here.
Good morning. Commissioner Keeney's here. Chair Smith is here. Commissioner Graybill?
Here.
Very good. Commissioner Thorburn? Commissioner Thorburn? Commissioner Holzmiller? Commissioner Holzmiller? Commissioner Kehoe?
I'm here. Thank you, Larry.
Good morning, Mom. Commissioner McIsaac?
Present. Good morning.
Good morning. And this is Commissioner Carpenter. I'm present, and we do have a quorum. It appears we're missing two, if I got my notes right here. Pardon my language and my voice.
Larry, before we start, could I just say something?
Please do.
Yeah. Yesterday, I apologize. I had a veterinary emergency with my dog, and I couldn't be on that call. And I did see the score of how people voted or whatever the appropriate term is, and it had me listed for candidate N as a maybe, but for candidate N, I was a yes, not a maybe. I just wanted that for the record.
Jay,
it didn't result in any change, so yeah, we can make that any change.
Yeah, I just wanted to make that clear. So that's all. Thank you.
Before we get to agenda item A, I have a couple items here while we wait on the other commissioners. For those commissioners that are planning to attend the WAFWA meeting, and I think it's July 12th through the 17th, Tammy?
Yeah, that's correct.
Those that intend to participate, please let Tammy know. And those also that might be attending the WAG meeting in Spokane on May 1 and 2 should also advise Tammy. And also on behalf of Tammy, she'll be out of the office through May the 1st, May Day. So that's all that I have on those types of items. So if we can move to Agenda A. Before that, could we hear who's on the line from staff?
Mr. Vice Chair, this is Joe Storer. I'm sitting in a pickup truck in a parking lot. The sun's shining on us, and I'm here with Ron Warren. So you can take as long as you like.
No, you guys. No comments. Good morning, guys. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Vice Chair?
Yes, Bill Freymar, please.
Bill Freymar in the director's office, and I'm here with the following staff. Richard Tevesen.
Teresa Scott.
Randy Thurston.
That's it here.
Thank you. Agenda item A is the HPA rules. This is a decision. Who would like to take the lead on this from staff?
Good morning, commissioners. I'm going to have Teresa Scott take the lead on this. She's prepared most of the documentation that you've reviewed. She'll be walking us through it. This is Randy, by the way. I'm sorry. That might help.
And this is Teresa. So what we're going to do is have a little test on all the documents. Not really. We're here to request adoption of proposed HPA rule changes for what we're now calling 2018 Round 1 HPA rule changes. As you know, HPA rules are deemed significant legislative rules by the legislature, which means there's a lot more process and a lot more pages of material are involved in the rule proposal and adoption. We need to walk you through the details of some of the determinations, but first let's review the materials. Did everybody get the materials and have a chance to look at them? So do you have them? If you have them open, I'm going to walk through. First, obviously, is the summary sheet. And on that document, you can click on the icon to the left that's a ribbon icon that gives you bookmarks to aid navigation through the documents. The first document after the summary sheet is the concise explanatory statement, and that document details the purpose of the proposed rules in Section 3, which starts at the bottom of page 1. And the reasons for adopting rules, which is Section 8 starting on page 11. It also summarizes the comments received and the agency responses to those comments, and that's in Section 6. And we also have repeated that in the summary sheet for you, and includes any details of substantive changes between the rules proposed in the CR 102 and the rules we're requesting you to adopt today. And that's in Section 7 of that document. We're going to walk you through these in a minute. They're also on your summary sheet. The second document in that compilation after the summary sheet is the implementation plan, HPA Rule Changes Implementation Plan. And that's required for significant legislative rules and provides an overview of the staff work that will occur after rules are adopted. And then the last document in that compilation is the what we call the final regulatory analyses document. And this compiles the results of several analyses that are required for significant legislative rules and also for the Regulatory Fairness Act. The analyses and conclusions or determinations are important for you to know about because past inadequacies have resulted in successful rule challenges. We've beefed up our analyses and the documentation of those analyses and have expanded the draft motion language in the summary sheet to incorporate specific adoption of those determinations. So there are several analyses. The first one is the cost-benefit analysis, and it's in Section 2. The least burdensome alternative analysis is Section 3. The Regulatory Fairness Act analysis is Section 4. And Appendix A provides documentation of the determinations made by the agency when evaluating the proposed rule. So we're going to review those determinations in a minute. You also have a copy of the CR 102 Notice of Proposed Rulemaking with the proposed rule language attached. Do you have any questions about the materials? Okay. Returning to the summary sheet, we turn your attention to the determination starting at the bottom of the first page. And I'm going to walk through those. There's 10 items that you need to acknowledge. The first is that the general goals and specific objectives of the statute that the rules implement are discussed in Section 1 of the Regulatory Analyses document. Required to provide that discussion. The rule is needed. You need to determine that the rule is needed to achieve the general goals and specific objectives stated in Section 1 of the Regulatory Analyses document. The third one is that, indeed, you notified the public of the availability of a preliminary cost-benefit analysis, and that notification was provided in the CR 102 notice. Fourth is a determination that the probable benefits outweigh the probable cost for each proposed change. The discussion regarding the costs and benefits appeared in Section 2 of the Regulatory Analysis document. Next, the rules proposed for adoption are the least burdensome alternatives. The least burdensome analysis is in Section 3 of the Regulatory Analysis document. Next, there are no small businesses in Washington that are impacted by the proposed changes. Therefore, no small business economic impact statement is required. Again, that's in Section 4 of the Regulatory Analysis document. There are no provisions in the hydraulic code rules requiring those to whom they apply to take an action that violates requirements of another federal or state law. So an explanation for how this determination was made is in the Appendix A of the Regulatory Analysis document. The rule applies. applies equally to all HPA applicants, whether public or private, and therefore does not impose more stringent performance requirements on private entities. The rule differs from federal regulations or statutes applicable to the same activity. And WDFW coordinated the rule to the maximum extent practicable with other federal, state, and local agencies, laws, and rules applicable to the same activity or subject matter. So again, a complete discussion of these determinations that we just went through appears in Appendix A of the regulatory analysis document. Are there any questions about any of the determinations? Okay, the summary sheet also details, starting at the bottom of the fourth page, the three changes we made to the rule language since the 102 document was filed. So those three changes, the first is in section 220.660.050 of the rule, subparagraph 9C3A. And it's about the completed application forms, site date by the applicant, landowners or landowner representatives. In the final language for adoption, we're adding or easement holder. And then at the bottom of that is a sentence that says a copy of the easement granted to the applicant by the landowner. And we're replacing that whole sentence with the sentence reading, the property owner, if different than the applicant or easement holder, must consent to the department staff entering the property where the project is located to inspect the project site or any work. The reason we made that change is that the intent is to allow a copy of an easement to serve in place of a landowner's signature if that is easier for the applicant. We consulted with commenters from utility companies and modified language to clarify that a copy of the easement is not required, nor is an easement required to include specific provisions for WDFW access to the property, and those were the two concerns initially expressed in the comments. Are there any questions about that one? The second change is in 220.660.050, paragraph 11, sub C. And what we're changing there is that the department must place written documentation of a declaration in the record prior to issuing the HPA. That was the 102 language. And the change is to place that information in the record within 3 days of issuing the written HPA. WDFW did not intend for applications to be delayed while WDFW staff comply with this requirement, which is what commenters expressed concern about. WDFW recommends implementing the commenter's suggestion to require filing this information within 3 days of issuing the permit. Any questions about that one? And lastly, was an oversight in the 102 filing, and that is that the lower section of the Salton River was intended to have the same authorized work time as the new section from the diversion dam to the anadromous fish blockage. And so we've added that language in the adoption version. So that work time will change from August 1st to August 15th to August 1st to August 31st, which is consistent with the next section of river upstream. Are there any questions about those changes? Okay, with that, we ask you to adopt the determinations and adopt the rules as amended, and you have motion language in the summary sheet.
Do we have a motion or any questions?
Larry, this is Bob. I'll make the motion.
Please do, Bob. Commissioner Kehoe.
I move to adopt the determinations made in the final regulatory analysis and adopt the rules as presented by staff.
I second. We have a motion. Commissioner Graybill.
Commissioner Graybill, second. Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
No, same. Thank you very much. The motion carries. Teresa, thank you for a job well done.
Thank you so much for bearing with us through this.